Welcome to the IoT Security Chats podcast, where we bring you the latest information in cyber and IoT security. From asset and vulnerability management to incident response, hear the experts talk about the latest threats affecting connected devices and how to keep your organization safe.
Good morning, everyone. I am Priyanka Upendra, Senior Director of Customer Success at Assembly, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to the Assembly podcast series. Today, we will focus our conversation around challenges and constraints of medical device cybersecurity with Axel Wirth, Chief Security Strategist at Medcrypt, based out of San Diego, California. Axel is also serving as an advisor to Assembly. Axel is known nationally and internationally for his expertise in cybersecurity, medical device cybersecurity, mobile health infrastructure, compliance automation, IT infrastructure optimization, and other healthcare-specific topics. Drawing from over 30 years in the industry, he provides strategic vision and technical leadership to healthcare providers, industry partners, and healthcare professionals. Axel is an active participant in professional societies and organizations and is a sought-after speaker at conferences, thought leadership forums, webinars, and podcasts. He has been recognized with numerous awards, including the AMI Fellow status in 2019. His extensive background in the healthcare, IT, and medical device industries include engineering leadership as well as strategic business development and marketing roles with Siemens Medical, Analogic Corp, Mitra Inc., Agfa Healthcare, Symantec, and currently at Medcrypt. His education includes a bachelor's in electrical engineering from the University of Applied Sciences, Dusseldorf in Germany, and a master's in engineering management from the Gordon Institute of Tufts University. Today's podcast, we will focus on medical device cybersecurity industry, which has expanded technologically and with its human efforts. Healthcare technology professionals need to be increasingly alert in order to manage the vast variety of connected and standalone medical devices and those that store, display, or transmit patient health information, functionality information, and other business-sensitive information. The COVID-19 pandemic and the adoption of alternate care settings has added to the existing challenges and constraints. So in this podcast, let's discuss the challenges and constraints of medical device cybersecurity and how we can shift gears to move to a proactive side of the Internet of Medical Things. Axel, thank you again, and we appreciate you doing this podcast with us. So the first question here is, health systems are improving inventory management to understand cybersecurity risks. What is it that is still lacking in the process in order to be on par with IT, retail, and banking?
So when I started in cybersecurity, which is actually now 13 years ago, I focused initially on traditional IT security, and I learned pretty quickly a very important saying in that space, and that is you can only manage what you know, as in you need good asset visibility to be able to manage the security of the assets you need to protect. That statement is even more true, I think, in the medical device space for a number of reasons. One is certainly complexity. I don't think there's any industry that has a complexity of IT and operational technology systems like medical devices as healthcare has. And that complexity requires good asset management, but is challenged by, for example, the lack of management features many medical devices provide. But you can't put agents on them, you can't scan them as you do traditional IT equipment. So in order to get full asset visibility, you need dedicated tools to do so. But even more important, you not only need to understand what is on your network and what needs to be protected, but also need to collect all security relevant parameters of the devices on your network, starting with the obvious, the operating system and the network stack. the ports being used, network connectivity, but there's much more you need to consider so that your medical device security risk management program can truly identify the at-risk devices and can truly set the right priorities to mitigate these devices.
Thank you, Axel. So there's a large focus on network-connected medical devices, but we still have a large percentage of standalone devices that are maybe not yet connected to the network, but have the capability to do so. Assembly has in fact launched features to assess the risks of such standalone devices. How can the industry effectively adopt the risk assessment of standalone devices into procurement and its overall risk management? Do we have any specific guidelines that we should also be looking at?
So first of all, your point is well taken. Right? I mean, it doesn't mean that if something is not on the network, it is not at risk. Right? There are other non-network attack vectors that need to be considered. Sneaker net data carriers, USB thumb drives are very, very common examples on how a device can be compromised. So other, even proprietary interfaces, or short-range interfaces like Bluetooth that doesn't extend to the larger network. So there's plenty of opportunity for non-network devices to be compromised and infected. I think back on the 10 years now of dealing with the topic of medical device cybersecurity, anecdotally, the stories I've heard from HDOs about medical device security incidents, there are more stories that include a non-network attack vector, and most commonly it is indeed a USB data carrier as compared to network attacks. So having features in any asset management software, any asset management tool that are able to also manage and provide security view into non-network devices, in my opinion, is extremely critical. But just because something isn't connected doesn't mean it can't be infected with malware or can't be hacked into. And it also doesn't mean that it can't impact care delivery or even patient safety.
Thank you, Axel. So I think, you know, we understand that our inventory management and asset management is crucial to understand what we have in the IT infrastructure or in the healthcare environment, and also to be more proactive with the cybersecurity risk management. So in terms of governance, we have solid governance models and frameworks that have been vetted and published through AMI, ACC, ECRI, and also the HSCC's 405D offerings. Why are health systems still constrained with adopting them? And how does a technology like Assembly facilitate building a framework?
So I think the biggest hurdle, and that goes back to something I said earlier, is complexity, right? The diversity, the number of devices, device types, and the number of vendors the manufacturer deals with is very large, and that complexity challenges any existing framework. And that you mentioned a number of very good ones that are out there and that are available. I think we also then need to realize that there are secondary restraints, things like, for example, the device regulatory status that limits what HDOs can do internal to the device from a security perspective, as in, for example, installing software management or security agents or even anti-malware software. And there's also a high degree of vendor dependency, and unfortunately, not all vendors have embraced their role in cybersecurity yet, and many tend to be difficult to work with. So again, to a previous point, I think having the right tools, being able to automate that complexity is the right approach. The simple example is that performing a risk assessment of a single medical device is relatively simple. I can do that with pen and paper. But doing that for thousands, if not 10,000s of medical devices, of hundreds, if not thousands of different types, from equal numbers of different vendors, that becomes a challenge. And I don't see how that can be accomplished without a dedicated tool that not only automates the processes and the data collection, but also through the tool itself and its broad installed base, brings in a lot of background data, background experience with given devices that were collected through the tool vendor, in this case, Assimile, and information that was fed into the tool through other HDOs.
Thank you, Axel. So we're actually looking at growing complexity and diversity of these devices and also diversity of care delivery models. So, we know that asset management is crucial and tools like Assimile actually improves asset management with the identification of risk and impact. And then you also talked about integration with other systems, including, network access control systems. So how can health systems use this information or from these automated tools for the development of network enclaves to achieve meaningful network segmentation or even improved clinical workflows?
That kind of goes back to where we started, right? First step is full asset visibility, and that means in both dimensions. Know all the assets that are on your network or could be attacked through non-network vectors, but also then perform a risk assessment and have meaningful risk prioritization. The old saying is that if everything is a priority, nothing is a priority, because you never get around to fixing everything. So being able to get that visibility, being able to flush out the highest risk devices first, and then in conjunction with your existing network security infrastructure and other security tools, be it firewalls, your network segmentation, your SIEM, your CMMS, your CMDB, other tools you may have, your NAC, that all then helps to not only address the highest priorities first, but also to do so reliably and quickly and efficiently, and even more important, maintain that posture going forward.
Thank you. So with prioritization of risk, it leads me to my next question, which is about prioritizing vulnerabilities. So Assimile actually identifies and prioritizes vulnerabilities, and it provides actionable intel that is practical for the remediation of risk. In addition to that, what we also do is we integrate with NAC, firewall systems, SIEMs, CMMS, CMDB, or other ITSM tools in order to improve the management of vulnerabilities. So with this, we're actually seeing increased integration and also support around the remediation activities and full utilization of network security systems. Why are we still constrained?
You made a very important statement there, right? And that is the statement about interpreting a vulnerability. Too often I see approaches that look at vulnerability scoring, for example, as provided by CVSS or other methodologies, a single number, and people use that as a priority. I've seen that both on the device manufacturer, but also on the HDO side. Let's be clear, any vulnerability rating only describes the inherent characteristics of a vulnerability. It doesn't tell you anything about the actual risk in the given implementation, in the given use case, and in the given use context. And all those parameters need to come together in order to perform a meaningful risk assessment and in order to come then to a meaningful conclusion on what the highest priority vulnerabilities are. And that is not always the one with the highest CVSS score, for example. Like vulnerabilities could be scored higher or lower in a more complex risk assessment. A given vulnerability in your operating system, in a server that supports an MRI scanner, has a totally different meaning than a given vulnerability in the same operating system in a life-sustaining device, like, for example, an infusion pump.
Thank you, Axel. So that was really important insight shared around the importance of asset management, having a governance framework, vulnerability, and overall security management. So to summarize all of this, we're looking at a three-pronged approach with people, processes, and technology. Any closing thoughts on this three-pronged approach and its effectiveness?
So that takes us back to my very first comment where I said when I started 13 years ago in cybersecurity, we already back then talked about people, process, and technology. It's certainly true in the IT and in the traditional enterprise space. I think it's even more true in the medical device space because of all the things we discussed, the complexity, the lack of security and security management features in devices, the lack of visibility, and many of the other things we discussed. So therefore, really making sure that everybody who touches and uses a device, doesn't matter whether it's a technical user like a clinical engineer that performs maintenance or a contractor, third-party manufacturer that performs maintenance, to the clinical user or operator, and even in some cases the patient, they need to understand their responsibility for cybersecurity as appropriate for their role, right? There's a big disclaimer here. Secondly, technology. We talked about tools a lot. We talked about the ability to prioritize risk, to automate external mitigation via the network and via network tools and so forth. Certainly an important topic, as too many medical devices are still missing designed-in security features. And then lastly, process is about the execution. But in there again, complexity is the big topic. How do I actually, across 10,000 of devices, identify which device has been affected by the most recent disclosed vulnerability? Which device has the highest risk to care delivery, to patient safety, to my business? And how can I most effectively address the high-risk devices first? That is where process comes in, and where tools like Assimile are extremely important to basically cut through that complexity and turn that risk management process that can be sometimes bogged down in detail, turn that into something actionable and meaningful that can be executed and maintained over time.
Thank you, Axel. In that aspect, I think Assimile provides the end-to-end solution. We have the people with that expertise. We help organizations with process development and improvement, and we certainly have a strong technology. So Axel, again, thank you for being here with Assimile and setting the stage for our podcast series. We really appreciate your thought leadership and insights around cybersecurity management for medical devices. And we look forward to sharing more practical insights in our next one. Thank you again.
Thanks, Priyan. Thanks for having me.